Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper, joined as always by Brett Grant. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to May.
Excited to be here, May 1, 2013. We're simulcast live on Vegas Video Network in addition to KSHP AM 1400 radio right here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's get started with what say you. Memphis Grizzlies are growling. What an impressive win last night, Brett. On the road, game five, easy winner for the Grizzlies, knocking off the Clippers. And I really think this team is going to wrap it up. Game six at home as a five-point favorite. What say you?
Well, when a series in the NBA is tied two games apiece, the team that wins Game 5 is then an overwhelming favorite. I think 83% of the time the winner of Game 5 has gone on to win the series. And now the Clippers losing Blake Griffin for much of the game yesterday, whether he's 100% healthy or not for Game 6, they have to now go to Memphis and play at a place where they haven't played very well. And they're not a great road team. Well, although they did win there twice last year in the postseason.
They did. Of course, the Clippers were a small dog last year in this seven-game series, and they ended up winning that series. This year, the Clippers, with home court advantage, favored to win, but the Grizzlies, it's amazing. I love this team. I should say I love their starting five. Their starting five is as good as anyone in all of basketball. They just don't have a bench, but when you have Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, Tony Allen, these guys are proven, wily veterans. They find a way to get it done.
Well, and you watch, and when you watch Zach Randolph, there's a couple of instances last night where he's taking a shot from maybe, 8 to 10 feet away from the basket, and he's getting the rebound. And the rebound's on the other side of the basket, and it's just a hustle play. And you're thinking, where are the Clippers? Where is the effort, especially at home yesterday? Chris Paul was terrific yesterday, and Jamal Crawford off the bench played pretty well, but nobody else stepped up for them. And that's a team that has had, Scott, a pretty good bench and a very decent starting five. Even without Griffin, you'd think that they would be still a very formidable opponent at home, but the effort wasn't there last night. And then I know you were talking about some of the coaching moves by Vinny Del Negro during our lengthy pre-show meeting.
About 30 seconds before we went on, yeah.
But his rotation was rather odd yesterday, wasn't it?
Well, I noticed that Chauncey Billups, 35 years old, I mean, he played the entire first quarter. And then in the second quarter, Chauncey Billups didn't play a second. In the third quarter, he played 5:32. In the fourth quarter, once again, did not play at all. So I do not understand that. I do like proven wily veterans this time of year. And Chauncey Billups, I mean, come on. This guy is the man. He was the man in Denver. He was the man in Boston with the Celtics. And so why would you not have him on the floor? I mean, if nothing else, from a leadership standpoint, Turiaf, he was in the game late. I don't know why. But with 4:50 to go in the game, Del Negro, the coach, called for Grant Hill before thinking twice. I mean, Grant Hill has not played the entire series. He's 40 years old, going on 60. So, I mean, what are you doing?
Even Grant Hill said, huh?
What? Me?
Huh?
Could you speak up? I can't quite
Somebody
hear you.
Somebody get my walker. Where's my teeth? It was odd. Obviously, when you lose Griffin, what about Caron Butler? He only played 19 minutes last night. And that was another one I'm looking at going, why isn't he on the floor? He's a guy who can certainly spark you offensively. At times.
Again, a proven veteran,
right.
So I don't understand that. I guess the other question is, as long as we're going to cap on the coach for the Clippers, when it rains, it pours, so let's go ahead and continue to throw him under the bus. What are you doing? It's Monday. It's an off day in the playoffs. Why are you having a five-on-five scrimmage where Blake Griffin ended up ultimately with a high ankle sprain, couldn't finish the game yesterday, questionable now for Game 6 in Memphis, but why this time of year are you having five-on-five scrimmage? I think the Spurs are kicking back, relaxing, getting deep tissue massages, putting their feet up.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. What are you doing? This isn't Hoosiers.
Where's my Mai Tai? It's a good point. You don't want to kill your guys, especially when you're in the midst of a series. Knowing Game 5 is the biggest game of your season, you want to make sure you go into that with all your guys on, healthy and ready to run through the wall for you. You don't want to kill them in practice, and that's what you did. It's no different than maybe on a Thursday or Friday or Saturday walkthrough in the NFL saying, you know what, it's our walkthrough, but we're putting the pads on today. What? You know, these guys don't do that in the NFL. Why would you do it here? It's a great point, and I don't understand what he was doing either.
The Grizzlies now lead 3-2. Game 6 in Memphis, the Grizzlies are favored by 5. What's interesting here, we know in the 2-2-1-1-1 format that oftentimes a series doesn't really begin until a road team wins. Now, the Clippers at home for the first 2 games held serve. Memphis at home held serve. So now with the Grizzlies winning Game 5 last night in L.A. at the Staples Center, it does not bode well for the Clippers. 2 big fat reasons. 1, the uncertainty, the status of Blake Griffin, tied in with the fact that the Grizzlies, the 2 games at home in this series, after being down 2-0, they won by 12 and 21 points on their home court. I just think this team is too tough mentally to not win in Game 6.
Well, and you look at their stars last night. I mean, you had Randolph with 25, Gasol 21, Conley had 20, Prince had 15. That was their starting five. Jared Bayless came a little bit off the Tony Allen had 6. He's their other starter. And then they didn't get much off the bench. But you know what the most important stat to me last night was? 7 turnovers. I mean, you go on the road in Game 5 and you commit 7 turnovers, that's a very low number, especially for a road team in the NBA.
Well, you're always going to give yourself an opportunity to win or at least be in the game. And that's really all you can ask for when you're on the road, hostile environment. The Clippers, as good as they are, they've been outstanding at home. But I want to back up for a minute because you talked about how good Zach Randolph has been.
Right.
The guy is not overly tall. He's not overly big. He doesn't jump. He's not fast, but he fights for position, has a heart of gold. He's a man.
And
what I like about Zach Randolph is it kind of goes back to what Bill Walton has said. Legendary center for the Portland Trail Blazers, won the title in 1977 against the Philadelphia 76ers. Walton says it's not how high you jump. It's where are you when you jump.
Well, anticipation is part of the game, and knowing where to be or where a shot comes into it, and Bill Walton might say a geometry or mathematics, say, wait, if the ball's coming at this trajectory and it's coming at this angle, the likelihood of it to be in this area for a rebound, that's where I need to be. And there's never been, I don't think, a better player in any sport with anticipation better than Wayne Gretzky was in the National Hockey League. If you watched Wayne Gretzky play the game, he wasn't the fastest, he wasn't the strongest, he didn't have the hardest shot. He was a great passer, but his anticipation of where the play was going to go, he was a good 3 or 4 seconds ahead of everybody else on the ice. And there's Zach Randolph's one of those guys. His anticipation, his intuition about where the ball's going is invaluable to this Memphis Grizzly team. And it's something that, you can't teach that, but it's like, you know what, I'm going to be in this area because this is where I believe this is where it's going to be. Or it's not so much, you know, obviously the NBA is about plays. Hey, we're running this play, I need to be in this position. Well, if the ball is not going through you, you got to find a way to get the offensive rebound or get the defensive rebound. And he does a great job of that. So I think his intuition is really a great intangible for the Memphis Grizzlies.
I like his work ethic. I think about a couple of other outstanding rebounders in the history of the National Basketball Association. They necessarily were not all that tall. Charles Barkley, the round mound of rebound, was 6'4", maybe 6'5", led the league in rebounding. Dennis Rodman, 6'7", maybe 6'8", but the Worm, I mean, he was just slippery. But I read his book, and he talked about one thing more than anything else. He said, forget boxing out, forget stopping your man from getting the rebound. Go get the ball.
Right.
Play the ball. Go get the ball.
Play the game. And you're right. And there is a physical, you know, being more physical at times, but you also have to be smarter. And Dennis Rodman, they didn't call him the Worm because he was able to get in and out of areas that other guys weren't able to get in and out of areas of. He was not a wide body. He wasn't 250 pounds at 6'7". He was probably 220 pounds. And he was skinny enough to get in there and in between guys where you'd look around and go, wait a second, where did that guy come from? He's got the ball again. But he was also physical enough. And if you look at why he was so good on the teams with the Pistons, or, you know, Bill Laimbeer was the guy slinging the elbows on those Piston teams, but it was Rodman who was getting the rebounds.
Well, even Michael Jordan said when they were winning championships in Chicago with Dennis Rodman, because those two are not very similar, you might say that might be an understatement.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a couple.
Green hair, give it away or what?
But he would call Rodman a rebounding fool. And the thing is, that's all he did. He would get a rebound 2 feet from the basket. Then he wouldn't go with the putback. He would bring it back out, set up the offense, go back in. But again, per what I read in his book, right. It was kind of interesting, Brett, because he talked about you hardly ever see people called for 3 seconds, but you also see people are so scared, like in baseball, of striking out. People are scared of being called for a 3-second violation. But Rodman always said, you have to remember that he would be in there 6 out of 7 seconds. He would be in for 3, dart out for just a half a second, right back in the lane. So, I mean, he was really, really – it was fun to watch this guy. He's a freak off the court. We know that. But a great, great player to watch.
Well, he was also a great role player. When you know your role, that was his role, defend and rebound. And it wasn't, Dennis, stop, pull up, and shoot a 24-footer. It was get to the basket and get the rebounds. And if you don't feel comfortable making the layup again, get it back out to Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen or B.J. Armstrong or John Paxson or somebody who could actually shoot the ball. But just get the rebounds. And that's why I look at, you go back to the Lakers a little bit, Ron Artest was that kind of player, but suddenly he decided to think that he was an outside shooter. And I'm thinking, why is Ron Artest, and look at box scores, I see 15 shots, 18 shots for Ron, Meta World Peace. I'm going, that's not what I would want that particular guy to do. I would want him there getting rebounds. I think of them as similar nutcases where they can, that's what they do. Their job was to go get rebounds.
Yeah, and there was a difference, and that's well said, because Artest fell in love with the outside shot. I think he made a couple in practice, and that parlayed into game-like situations, yeah. And he turned into a gunner, which adversely affected the team. But you talked about role players. You talked about Rodman, right. Understanding his role. I look at this Memphis Grizzly team, and as far as a role player, I can't think of a better role player than Tayshaun Prince for the Grizzlies. I mean, I was one of those people that said, Memphis Grizzlies, what are you doing? You're trading away your best player, Rudy Gay, and you're also trading away your bench. But the fact is, they're advancing as a road dog, probably just by winning in Game 6 against the Clippers. They're going to advance and probably take on the Thunder. Okay, they will take on the Thunder of Oklahoma City. But here you look at this Grizzlies team, and Rudy Gay, as good as he was, Tayshaun Prince is probably a better fit because he's a role player. He's a long defender, a very good team player. He's not going to shoot you out of games,
right.
And he understands his role.
And he's a good on-ball defender for the guy, the small forward he has to cover. He has very long arms. He's able to defend and make up ground where other guys might be beaten in a spot. Tayshaun Prince is able to still be in position. He was 6 of 10 yesterday, 15 points, high percentage shots, goes to the free throw line when he needs to. Plays very well defensively, can pass the ball. We talk about him defending, and he's very quiet. He doesn't expect the spotlight, and that's what you need. Every team needs these kind of guys who very quietly go about their business and score or help the team win. And don't, on the other side, don't be a detriment to your team. Don't go out and pick up a couple technicals or commit a flagrant one or two or do something stupid that's going to give momentum to the other side, to the other team.
It appears that Tayshaun Prince has no ego. He's all for the betterment of the team, and he's fit in nicely with this team, even though he doesn't have the talent of, say, Rudy Gay. I'm a big Rudy Gay fan, but for the most part, he's one-dimensional. I mean, he was a scorer, okay? But I look at this Memphis Grizzlies team, and again, I really don't understand how they're getting it done with no bench, because the Clippers, outstanding bench. I guess it's all for naught. We wouldn't be having this conversation had Blake Griffin not been playing in a 5-on-5 scrimmage during practice on Monday with a high ankle sprain. But I'm telling you, I played plenty of basketball, and 90% of the time when you have an ankle sprain and you come down on someone's foot, you can walk it off, you bite the bullet, you ice it. A few days later, you're good as new. But a high ankle sprain, different story altogether. Man, it took me a long time to recover.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, you're almost better off with a fracture than you are a high ankle sprain. It might
because
heal
at least,
faster.
Right, exactly, because then you know it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks. So at least it's a clean break.
Right. Yeah, and we'll see how effective he can be going into it. But you have to question what Vinny Del Negro was doing.
I felt going into this series, the Clippers having home court and a better bench, I felt that the Clippers would win this series. But I'm changing boats in midstream. I really feel that the Grizzlies, based on their outstanding defense, the fact that they've won by 12 and 21 points at home already against the Clippers, This team, that place will be rocking and rolling, and Zach Randolph, the will of Randolph, and even Gasol, He was in foul trouble last night, didn't play most of the fourth quarter. They still got it done. We talked about Tayshaun Prince. Come on, man. You mentioned 15 points, but late in the game, about a buck 20 to go in the game, he nailed a three-point shot. He has nerves of steel because he's a proven winner. He won the championship with the Pistons.
Yeah, and he's been around. He's a veteran player and a guy you can count on, a guy who knows how to play the game, who accepts his role. I'm not the primary scorer. The ball goes through Zach Randolph or Marc Gasol. Gasol, by the way, 9 of 9 for the free throw line. Mike Conley, 10 of 12 from the foul line. The team shoots 79%. From the free throw line yesterday. And when you're getting free points at the line and you're taking that opportunity and you're making a very high percentage, you're also in a great position to win. And never felt like they were going to lose that game yesterday because they didn't struggle at any part of their game. They didn't turn the ball over. They made their free throws. They shot pretty well. They weren't taking crazy three-point shots. The one they made, they only made three, but that was a huge three-point shot yesterday.
You're listening to and watching The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Las Vegas, Nevada, live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on VegasInsider.com, my site, PritchardsPicks.com, and Tim Donaghy's site, the former NBA official, has his own sports betting site called RefPicks.com. That's RefPicks.com. The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. We would love to hear from you. 702-221-7283. If you want to talk sports, namely sports betting, live chat has been up and running, and a kind gentleman, kind enough to remind us of our record yesterday. Thank you for that. Brett, 1-0 yesterday. I went 0-1. I had the twin. I was talking to Scott Whitney, the executive producer, before the show, I think, trying to plead my case. Hey, man, the total on my game, Tigers Twins, 7.5. I played the over. I was liking it, man. I was looking good, feeling good. Bottom of the fifth inning, it's 6-1. I need one run one time. Scoreless, nothing but zeros the rest of the way. Eighth, ninth inning, I'm thinking, where's the rain? Where's the rain?
Save me. Save me, Mother Nature. I was on the other side. I had the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Francisco Giants under the total of 8. It was 1-0 into the ninth inning, and the Giants scored 2 in the top of the ninth to win. And win the game 2-1. So I was on the right side of that game. On the other day, a couple days ago, I was on the wrong side of a 2-1 score in the bottom of the ninth, and then the Marlins scored and then came back and beat the Mets and actually got over the 6.5 in 15 innings. So I was a little fortunate in that particular game. But yesterday was an easy under. And Trevor Cahill, by the way, now 6 starts in the Major League Baseball season so far. All 6 of his starts have gone under the total, and they really have not been close yet.
Well, you look at that. You also look at what the D-backs, I mean, you mentioned last night they gave up 2 in the bottom of the ninth inning. This D-backs team, they have blown, already they have blown 9 saves.
They're like the Cubs. There's several teams. The Cardinals have a problem with their bullpen. We know the Cubs don't have a bullpen. Now we know, obviously, the Diamondbacks are having an issue. The Dodgers are having an issue. How about the Mets?
Well, they're having an issue, and they're in my Are You Kidding Me segment, so we're going to continue to tease you about the Mets. But it's been an expensive proposition betting the Mets. Don't ask me how I know. I have to say.
Exactly.
And I don't even know if I want to wait. But, man, oh, man, 2 nights ago, 15th inning, they're up, and they gave up 2 in the bottom of the inning. Last night, they're up, 9th inning, bottom of the inning, they give up. Bottom of the ninth inning, they gave up 2 runs.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
You're early with the Are You
Kidding
Me?
I am, but it's never too early to complain.
That's for sure. No, nobody's going to listen to you, though. Scott's not giving you any sympathy back there.
I see that. No one cares. No one cares if I'm winning. Well, actually, they care if I'm winning, but no one cares.
More people care if you're losing.
Exactly. They want to hear about, hey, how much you lose? Hey. Well, I want to talk about the bad blood between the Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets. I don't know about you, but I try not to watch many games because, again, I spent all my time dissecting numbers.
Right.
Getting the best of it. But last night, knowing that if the Nuggets lose this series, thanks to my good buddy Anthony Padilla, who coerces me into all kinds of goofy decisions, I have to shave my head. Are you? Come on now. That's not right. I just paid $100 for a haircut and highlights. So now I'm this close to having my head shaved. So I watched that game last night. The Nuggets, I was happy to see them win, but even when they were up 22 in the second half, it's like no lead is safe. It's, you know, 8, 9, 10 baskets with a three-point shot. But the Nuggets played physical last night. They finally showed some courage.
Right.
Played well at home. We know regular season they lost three times the entire year, 38-3 at home. There's something ridiculous like 40-4 at home, including the playoffs. They played well last night. The Golden State Warriors, Mark Jackson, whining, crying, complaining. You know what? It's playoff basketball. Man up. Let's go.
These guys aren't hockey players, are they?
I mean, when my brother and
they
I would play
dirty.
When we played basketball, I was called the Bruise Brothers because you come down the lane, you're going to get hacked. I'm not going to get cheated on a foul. Well, but in basketball, how about a hip check now and again? Keep
absolutely.
Them honest.
Yeah, a little slash.
It's part of the game.
Cross check. Well, there was the old playground adage, no autopsy, no foul. Let's go play basketball.
Right.
I mean, it's physical. It's the NBA. It's the playoffs. Stop whining. Now, you know, the game yesterday, they didn't shoot very well, did Golden State. And they're not a very good road team. And Denver is a great home team. The Nuggets now 40-4 on the season at home. So nobody really expected Golden State to go in there and win the game. And we talked about yesterday, this was not a bad word maybe to call it a throwaway game for the Warriors. Anytime you have a chance to eliminate somebody, you want to do it. But they know their chance is coming up tomorrow night in Game 6. That's the game that the Warriors have to win, and I think you'll see that effort. Maybe what Mark Jackson is doing is politicking the officials a little bit. You get in the wine a little bit later on, so he gets the cheese coming up there at home on Thursday night with Game 6, making sure Curry gets some calls when he goes into the lane, or whoever gets some calls. I thought last night they're a little bit, Harrison Barnes was pretty active shooting last night, and I didn't think Steph Curry was doing enough. He didn't have a great shooting night. It was only 1 of 7 from three-point range. But they went other places. But give the Nuggets credit. They had to win. Their backs were against the wall. We expected them to win, and they did.
Now all the pressure's on Golden State. We know they're a tremendous home court team. I'm impressed with Mark Jackson. I love him as a coach. I love the makeup of this Warriors team. Doing this without one of their star players in David Lee. So they've had a great season. I'm hopeful again that the Nuggets can somehow steal the game tomorrow night. I will be watching that game as well as the Warriors are hosting the Denver Nuggets. I would expect the game will be a pick, 1.5, maybe Denver. Denver's been favored by 1 to 2 points in Oakland against the Warriors. More than anything else, this time of year, cream tends to rise to the top, so I'm a big sucker for talent. I think the Denver Nuggets have the better team. I love the fact that they attack the paint. That's continuity and consistency. We talk about the Warriors, as good as they are, they live and die by the outside shot. Now, they have been hot, but again, the Nuggets finally played some defense last night. We've been busting their chops because they just haven't been contesting shots. But Del Curry and Klay Thompson and Jarrett Jack, these guys are the real deal when it comes to putting the ball in the hoop.
Well, there's still 56 three-point attempts last night by both teams combined. So they do settle for the jump shots. I think the Nuggets took 27 threes and the Warriors took 29 in the game. So you know there's going to be a plethora of opportunities for teams to put 3 points on the board on certain trips down to the floor. And the Warriors did make 38% of them going into the game, and they lost by 7, but most of that was late when the game was already had been decided. So, yeah, the Nuggets have got to remember that they are an inside team first, and if you do have that lead, keep getting the ball inside. Use your strength. Get the ball to Fareed and let those guys do what they do inside. Let Lawson penetrate and kick, and Iguodala does a nice job getting inside there as well. But, you don't want to settle for too many jump shots on the road. I mean, that's been their problem. They've had big leads in Golden State, and they settled for jump shots instead of going to the basket.
See, that's the problem, okay? If you live by the outside shot, you die by it. We get that. But if you look at, from a professional sports betting standpoint, I do not like randomness. I like predictability. And I know I like teams that play good sound defense a la the Chicago Bulls because I know what I'm getting. And you can play good defense at home, and you can play good defense on the road. As good as the Warriors are, if you're living by that outside shot, they're in a tremendous shooting team. But those shots, high altitude, thin air, Mile High City in Denver, may not fall as well. But at home, here's the thing. At home, those shots will fall. That's why I'm a little nervous about tomorrow night's game. But I feel talent in the end will win out. Plus, maybe the Nuggets finally learn something. It's like maybe you should contest that three-point shot.
Maybe. But you realize your hair is relying on George Karl.
And I don't have any faith. I love George Karl as a regular season coach. I make a lot of money betting in the past. The Milwaukee Bucks when Carl was the coach, the Seattle Supersonics. But in the postseason, I've also made money betting against. But this year, I felt George Karl couldn't even get in the way of the Nuggets knocking off the Warriors. And then you bring in my jinx, my buddy Anthony Padilla, saying that the Warriors are going to beat the Nuggets. It's like, are you out of your mind?
Right.
I think this two-year winning streak he has going ATS against the spread is starting to get to his head.
He's 2 years without a loss?
Well, that's what he says. I mean, okay. Every week I see him, his head keeps growing.
All his hair's not growing back. Have you noticed that since he shaved it off?
That's why do you think I'm so scared about shaving my head? I'm not going to look like that, am I? The next thing I know, I'll be wearing earrings. Yeah. And we can't have that.
No.
We just can't. No. So.
Although you didn't tell me it was Purple Shirt Day. I would have been right there.
Well, you know, I don't. You didn't get the memo.
Well, no, I had to sort of kind of match our new sticky notes over here. So
I like it. You're color coordinated once again.
Yeah, there you go.
We're having a lot of fun on The Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network. We're live and worldwide. This is so much fun, man. I mean, local radio, Las Vegas, Heart of the Day in Sin City. Everyone talks sports. And then live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. We archive the shows. Be sure and check that out. The studio line is up and running, 702-221-7283. That's 221-7283. We broadcast the Clipper games. We broadcast the Dodger games. Football season, BYU football. And another college team, the Dallas Cowboys. We broadcast their games as well.
Are they college now? They got relegated down to college?
Actually, I thought they were upgraded.
Oh, upgraded.
I don't mean to insult college football.
I just got the BYU schedule for this year. There's some very good games coming up. They're playing Wisconsin. They play Notre Dame. They're playing Texas. Playing Georgia Tech. So BYU will have a very nice schedule this year.
Actually,
open with Virginia, I believe it is.
I think that's great. I'm actually contemplating maybe going to Arrowhead Stadium to see the Chiefs early in the year host the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, there you go.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, Arrowhead's a great place to go watch a game. And early in the year is much better than in November or December.
No doubt. I wouldn't consider going. Of course, this year the Super Bowl is in East Rutherford, New Jersey, Giants Stadium. Are you kidding me? Really?
That really is.
We're
going to
play a cold. It's one thing. I was at the Super Bowl in 93, I believe it was.
In Minneapolis?
Yeah. But it was in a dome.
Right.
But
Let me ask you this question, though. Were you happy to go in and out to the restaurants and the bars and the other time you were spending? Because it was probably 12 degrees in January in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Are you going to be excited to be in New York City in early February? Forget the game. It is outside. You're going to be freezing at the game. What about the rest of it? I mean, part of the Super Bowl lore is going to a warm weather place. If the Chicago Bears make the Super Bowl or the Giants or the Packers, those fans get to go, thank God we're going to Tampa. And now they're going to be going, we have to go sit outside. Well, I like Lambeau Field, but not in February. And you're going to go do that in New York and New Jersey for a Super Bowl. And Roger Goodell was excited about it during the NFL draft saying, you know, you're on the clock for the Super Bowl. The meteorologist better be on the clock for the Super Bowl.
No doubt. I mean, I love New York City, but I like it a lot better in September as opposed to February.
Yeah, if you get a day that is, you know, a normal winter day, maybe you're able to tolerate it. But obviously you're banking on, it's kind of like the over-under total. You're hoping for a 40-degree day, but more than likely you're going to get a day in the 30s, and the odds of having a day much worse than that is not in your favor, I would think. So, you know, I'm hoping it's not a disaster, but part of me hopes it is, just so we don't have to do it again.
Right.
And say, let's just go back to Los Angeles and Phoenix and Miami and Tampa and forget this stupid experiment, because next thing you know is we'll have a game at Soldier Field in Chicago for the Super Bowl.
I'm going to be disappointed if it's sunny and balmy, because, as you say, I mean, Chicago, but how about Buffalo? I mean, are they going to have it in Buffalo? A few years down the road.
I understand it's New York City. I understand. It's everything. The world revolves around New York, at least according to New Yorkers. The rest of us, not so much.
Right.
But I don't want to have a game in Lambeau Field for the Super Bowl or in New York or any cold weather place. And if I'm the fan, see, that's the thing that makes me angry. Forget the players. They'll play in anything. You know, it's not going to bother them. How about the fans that have to sit through, the hour and a half, 2 hours before the game, watching the entertainment and stuff before the game? You have the extended halftime show, where it'd be interesting if Janet Jackson had a wardrobe malfunction in that Super Bowl. Because we would find out if the things might fall off a brass bra. And then you have the second half and the post-game stuff. You're talking about probably, as a fan, if you're attending the Super Bowl, 7 hours, minimally, I'm thinking, that you're going to be outside in that cold stadium.
I think I'll stay in Vegas.
Yeah.
Which, again, more people actually are in Vegas Super Bowl weekend right. than they are at the game as far as in town for the Super Bowl. So there's no place I'd rather be than Las Vegas Super Bowl Sunday. In fact, any time of the year, maybe KSHP Studios 24/7.
There you go.
We'll start with the hour.
Yeah, we'll start. Look at you,
God. Baby steps.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, let's talk hockey. The playoffs started yesterday. My good buddy Dink, that's his expertise. Dink featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis as Dink. Dink will be with us in next week talking professional sports betting, namely hockey. I know you're a hockey guy.
Oh, I love the game.
Your thoughts on last night's action?
Well, three games last night. They were all low-scoring games, and the home teams won all three. The Chicago Blackhawks, the number one seed, in overtime, won 2-1. The St. Louis Blues beat the Los Angeles Kings, also in overtime, 2-1. And then the Anaheim Ducks beat the Detroit Red Wings 3-1 with an empty net goal late yesterday. You know, the NHL playoffs, first of all, two of the three games went into overtime. And, you know, as much as you like the NBA and the NBA playoffs, for me, the NHL playoffs are so nerve-wracking. The game, I love the game because it's so fast, it's so physical, the talent level on the ice is tremendous. But then you throw in the added aspect of the physical nature of the sport and the bone-crushing hits that go along with it. And then, you know, with playoff hockey, the intensity, and as the playoffs grow longer, the beards grow longer. Everybody has their playoff beards. And it's just a great environment. I just wish the NHL didn't screw up their sport as much as Gary Bettman did. I'll address that in Are You Kidding Me? But I will watch the NHL playoffs. I don't care who's playing. I will watch every game that I can with regards to the NHL playoffs because they are just, to me, they are fantastic.
More people will bet football.
Right.
Then, and I mean, we know football is king when it comes to sports betting. But in regards to hockey, occasionally I'll step out and bet a total. I know nothing about hockey, but I'll bet a total if in the islands the over-under on a hockey game is 5/40. If I'm at Station Properties or somewhere else and they are dragging their feet, updating a number, and it's 5/20, I'm getting 20 cents the best of it. Instead of betting 1,400 to win 1,000 in the islands, you can bet 1,200 to win 1,000 over 5 on a key number in Vegas. I'll take that bet. A blind monkey should take that bet if you're getting 20 cents the best of it. I respect the islands numbers more than I do the Las Vegas numbers.
It's a good point. You know, when you look at the game, and there's some games coming up today with some higher scoring teams, and obviously 5 is a very critical number when you're betting totals in the NHL, because if a game gets to 2-2, it's going to get to 5 no matter what, and you have now sudden death playoff where the one goal is going to happen, and 2-2 is such a critical number in that. And you look at the games yesterday, all three games were at 5, and one of them yesterday, I think the Blues game, and I played under the 5 in the game yesterday, that was 5-150. Was that particular number. So you really do have to, and obviously you see then from an odds maker standpoint, they don't want to get off of 5.
Right.
And they will keep moving that juice and not go to 5.5 because they know they're in trouble if that happens.
Remember what I said, though, as far as the total, you can be a blind monkey and just always, if you do nothing else but just get good numbers, you're always going to be in right. the game. As an example, on a hockey game, if it's 5/40 pretty much everywhere, but one place maybe in Vegas that limits you to a nickel on a total, but it's 5/20, well, you're negating the juice. Right. Yeah, I'm getting 20 cents the best of it, but the other side, the take back is right. +20, might even be +25, +30. So I'm eliminating
right.
the juice. Or, you know, in baseball, I like baseball because oftentimes you'll have a 10-cent line. But if you shop, you can offset that to where you're laying 1 cent, right. 2 cent, or getting a small plus one way or the other. So it's grinding, scalping, middling, giving yourself an advantage by getting the best of it. This is the part of the show. We're going to bring in the wheel. Spin to win. We're talking pro basketball playoffs. The Atlanta Hawks are on the road taking on the Indiana Pacers. Surprisingly, this series is knotted up at 2 games each. I'm going to spin to win. Wherever it falls, I have to make an argument because the professional sports bettor knows that you bet with your head, not your heart. Emotions cloud judgment, unless your name is Anthony Padilla. He's emotionally attached to whatever, I don't know, but whatever he's doing. I think he's throwing darts at a board when it comes to picking winners, but he's winning. You can't argue with success. But today, spin to win, we're going to force an argument Brett automatically will take the other side. We have the Pacers hosting the Atlanta Hawks. The point spread is 6.5. Looks like I have the Atlanta Hawks, which I do not like. I do not like this team.
Sam, I am.
But the
I
Atlanta
do not
Hawks.
Like green eggs and ham.
The Atlanta Hawks. Dr. Seuss is in the house.
Exactly.
Atlanta Hawks plus 6.5 presents value. Why? It's a good question. Why? I'm trying to come up with an answer.
Thank you for not laying it on me.
I like points. Points mean more than opinions. This is an NBA playoff game, pivotal game 5. We know that both teams will slow it down, half court set. It's not like it's going to be a high scoring game, 240 points, something ridiculous like that, where points will be cheap. Points will be at a premium. The 6.5 points could help you here. And the thing with the Atlanta Hawks, I've dogged this team in the past, but that's also part of their appeal. You just don't know what you're going to get. Horford, along with Josh Smith. No one is better than Josh when he wants to play. It's like, come on, man, it's playoff time. Let's play. You just don't know what you're going to get. He's inconsistent. He turns it on. I've seen him countless times during the regular season where his team's down 2 or 3, $1.30 to go in the game. Go to the basket. If you don't get the three-point play, you're going to get the call. And yet he settles for a 22-foot fadeaway contested shot. I don't like the Atlanta Hawks, but I do like the points. Plus 6.5 points. Ring up the ringer. See the cashier.
Well, on the other side, the Indiana Pacers losing games 3 and 4. They do have, hopefully, a good memory to remember how well they played in games 1 and 2 at home. They averaged 110 points a game at home in the first two games of the series. They really played well at home, and I would expect them to bounce back and play well. Again, a critical game 5 in a series that's tied 2-2, and I like the home team in this particular spot. You're going to need George Hill and Stevenson to come through. Paul George has got to play better than he did in games 3 and 4 when he struggled for them. Again, I'm just going to go back to how well they played at home in those first two games, because they weren't contests and they played very, very well at home against the Hawks. And laying 7 is a little more than I like to lay, but I'm going to put it with the home team.
So you're taking the Pacers minus the 6.5, minus the 7. Doesn't matter. Just
got to lay the
play
wood.
The Pacers. Yep. And I like what I like about your Pacer team is they play good, sound defense. I like their coach. They're well coached. They are at home, but 6.5, 7 points might be a bit happy, even against a random Hawks team.
That's a good point. And by the way, in this particular game, the over in games involving the Hawks last 11 games following a against the spread win, 10-1, by the way, the over. So keep that in mind, folks, if you want to play the total tonight.
Red Rover. Some people like the over. What is it, 180 or something?
Yeah, and they're also 9-1 in their last 10 road games. Over are the Atlanta Hawks.
Interesting. Boy, you would think they would play some defense this time of year, but again, you're the Atlanta Hawks. How did they win 2 games in this series?
Do people in Atlanta realize they have an NBA team?
I don't know. Does anyone even go to the games?
That's you talk about sports cities, great sports cities, bad sports cities. I consider Atlanta to be one of the worst professional sports cities when it comes to the Braves and the Hawks. They show up for the Falcons. Obviously, they used to have an NHL team as well. They moved away from them. But when the Braves were going through that run of 12, 13 straight divisional wins, when they had Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz and that great crew with Bobby Cox, and the playoffs would start, there's empty seats in the stadium. It's October. It's baseball. You can't fill up your stadium. That always bothered me with the Atlanta market.
It's a bit of a surprise because with the city of Atlanta being a good-sized town, I mean, you say they draw for the Falcons, but there's a difference between 81 home baseball games, right, or 41 home NBA games. You have 8 home games for football, and they have a pretty good product there in Atlanta.
Yeah. And they're a good college town, and they're a good NASCAR town. They're into a lot of other things down there. But it's the playoffs. It's October. Now, you try and get a ticket in Boston or New York or St. Louis when it comes to postseason baseball, good luck. In Atlanta, you can get them no problem.
No problem, even though they have a great product
right on
the field. Yeah. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, simulcast live and worldwide Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper alongside the GM here at KSHP, Brett Grant. Great to have you with us. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. Great to have you with us. The studio line is open at 702-221-7283. To reach out to us, email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. We would love to hear your voice on our show. Go to our site, Vegas Video Network. On the right-hand side, a red bar. Click there. In the middle of the page, a green bar, start recording. We do field live chat questions before, during, and after the show, preferably during, so we can address those live. I like to see my good buddy Brett struggle to answer a live chat question. You wouldn't struggle with that, would you?
I think I can answer it.
We welcome it. So sure. If you do miss us live, no worries. Reach out to us, Vegas Video Network, iTunes, YouTube, Roku. In sports, you don't have to look far, friends, to find frustration. Are you kidding me?
Well, let me start with the National Hockey League. Not the National Hockey League playoffs. Not cold steel on ice. As a St. Louis Blues fan, we have a term. It's simply known as bleed blue. And we do, because usually we get knocked out of the first round of the playoffs bleeding on our way out. But anyway, I'm watching the playoffs last night, and I have to take the task with Gary Bettman, who's been the commissioner, who was a David Stern protege in the NBA. And he took, of all of David Stern's bad ideas, and he apply them to the National Hockey League. Do you realize the game last night between the St. Louis Blues and the Los Angeles Kings was on CNBC Sport? CNBC. Not NBC. Not NBC Sports, but CNBC. Now, they left ESPN years ago, and they went over to the Rodeo Channel, because it was the channel that only played rodeos and fishing shows. I think it was Versus. And then they bought that out and changed it. And they basically took their sport and they moved it to Siberia because nobody could find the game. So last night I'm looking and I'm trying to find the Kudlow report, and I went, oh wait, there's the hockey game on CNBC, which is, I don't know, it's a business channel, right? Yeah, okay. So I don't know what they're doing. They're hiding the games from me. That's what I'm trying to say. Why are you putting games on CNBC? Get back on ESPN if you can. If you can't, then at least put the game somewhere where a hockey fan might actually look for it. I spent a half an hour going, where is the game? I can't find it. And it, oh yes, it's all, of course, makes perfect sense. It's on the business channel. So I watched my stocks roll by as the game was going on. Oh, Apple was down today. Google was up today. So Gary Bettman, are you kidding me?
I love that line. They're hiding the game from me.
Exactly. They were.
Are you kidding me? New York Mets. Come on, man, you're in New York. Six consecutive losses. The last two nights ago, they played a game that went into the 15th inning, and the Marlins, are you kidding me? The Marlins, no team in all of baseball has scored less runs. Two nights ago in the bottom of the 15th inning, Marlins down one to the Nets. They scored not one, but two to win. Last night, the Mets looking good, feeling good. Bottom of the ninth inning, Mets lead by one. They give up not one, not two. No surprise here that they've lost six consecutive games. And my good buddy Brett tells me, as a small favorite today against the Marlins, I know early they were down 3-0. How's it look? Any idea?
3-1 right now.
All right. It's not even the ninth inning. The Marlins are looking good. Are you kidding me? New York Mets, six consecutive losses.
The Marlins are not front runners, so I'm not sure they're going to be able to hang on to it.
That's
and
a good
be able
point.
To stick around. Speaking of front runners, are you a Kentucky Derby fan? Do you delve into the horse racing for the Triple Crown at all, or do you?
I don't do any form of. I've been in Las Vegas for the past 18 years. I don't do any table games, no poker, no slots, no nothing. The only thing I do is sports bet professionally, and I don't delve into horse racing either.
Okay. Well, you still have to go to the Kentucky Derby at some point in your life.
I've heard now. Have you been there? I know you've been to the Masters for golf.
I was at the Masters. I was at the Kentucky Derby a couple of years ago. Now, you have to try a mint julep, but when you do that, make sure you're near a bathroom to get rid of it immediately. Either way, up or down, it doesn't matter, because they are absolutely horrible. So feel free, though, to drink all the Woodford Reserve you want. Going in, but it's a great event. I mean, you and 165,000 of your closest friends all kind of together there having fun. Pray it doesn't rain and watch the ponies. It's a great weekend.
I get that. I mean, every year in August, a 6-week window, Del Mar, San Diego, yeah. Del Mar Beach Club. I hang out with Dink, his lovely wife, Gail. My daughter, Skylar, this past year, took her to the track for the first time. I didn't bet. I know that sounds.
No.
No, I just there to hang out.
$2 to share.
No. No, so, I mean, I don't mind betting on two monkeys in a foot race if I have inside info that the one monkey is on steroids and the other one is not. But as far as horse racing, no, I don't bet. Dink loves it. We'll talk to him about that next week when he's here. But this is an exciting part. As good as it's been, Brett, it's about to get even better because this is a part of the show where we put money into your pocket as Brett Grant and I together put money into your pocket.
Welcome back to the Department of Redundancy Department.
Is there an echo in here?
Echo. That's one of my favorite bits from Monty Python. Yes, indeed.
This segment is called The Right Side, and yes, we will put money into your pocket.
All righty. I always liked it when John Cleese said that. Welcome to the Department of Redundancy Department. I'm going to go to the National Hockey League. I'm going to give you a playoff game today, and it's a total involving two very high-scoring teams, and it's a total that you don't often see in the NHL in the playoffs, but it's 5.5, and it involves the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, Sidney Crosby will not play today. Off with a broken jaw. Remember, he got a puck in the face about a month ago, and he's still not quite back, although he will be back, I think, soon in the series. And by the way, this game will be on the NBC Sports station, so you can find it going through. Total 5.5. Islanders, a very high-scoring team, not a good defensive team, and the Pittsburgh Penguins just come at you in waves, and they score and score and score. I think this is actually a low total for a Penguins game when most of their regular season totals were in the 6 range. This one's at 5.5, and I think the Penguins are in a good spot here to win this game, win it rather easily as well. So I like the over with the Penguins and the Islanders today.
Red Rover, Brett loves the over. Break-even point, sports betting ATS against the spread, 52.4% means you have to be right 11 times out of 21. Brett, winner, chicken dinner yesterday. I lost by a hook. Not happy. The only thing worse than losing is having to talk about it on this show. So I'm going to turn that around today. I'm going to start winning. Today, I'm looking at NBA basketball game, playoff game, the Oklahoma City Thunder at home taking on the Houston Rockets. Total, actually the side for this game, I tend to bet totals, but I like the side in this game. The Thunder, favored by 8.5, they're annoyed, they're upset, they just lost to the Houston Rockets. They also lost their second best player in Russell Westbrook a couple of games ago. Compliments of the rookie from Houston, Beverly, who I love. I love Beverly. Boy, I don't think he's going to be well accepted or well received tonight in Oklahoma City. The Thunder favored by 8.5 points. It's too happy. It's too many. They're getting too much respect. Brett and I have talked on this show, the odds couple in the past. When you have a coach that's fired, a likable coach, the players will come out strong and play extremely well. They'll give 110%. Same way if a key player goes down because of an injury and they're not at 100% as a team, they will rally around that injury. And we saw that the case 2 games ago when the Rockets actually were up with less than a minute to go before Durant hit a crazy 3-point shot. They won the game. Another good effort for the Thunder against the Rockets the last game, but the Rockets prevailed, winning by 2. But as we go along here, I don't think people understand that this Oklahoma City team, as good as they are, without Westbrook, I just don't know how they're going to get it done. I mean, and to be favored by 8.5 points is too happy. I mean, Jeremy Lin, the star player guard for the Rockets, did not play in the last game. We'll see if he plays tonight. Keep your eye open as far as him being questionable or probable or if he's going to be in the starting lineup tonight for the Rockets. The right side for me, Houston Rockets plus the 8.5 points. Ring up the ringer. See the cashier.
Let me ask you, in a game like that where you do like a side and you like the underdog, are you a guy that will play the points and a little bit as well on the money line, just if they win the game, that you get a little cherry on top?
I love the question, because you want to get the best of both worlds. The question is, because I like the dog, will I consider the money line as well? I'll do both, but based on one thing. I have to, if it's 8, 8.5 everywhere. By the way, Scott Whitney, executive producer, just told me that the Indiana Pacers now, the line is up to 7 everywhere. It's a square number. A couple of places have 7.5. So, and this, the money is coming in on Oklahoma City, the Thunder against the Rockets. We have a touch of 9 now. So the idea here is I will bet. I'll give you an example. A few short years ago, the Steelers were playing the Arizona Cardinals Super Bowl, and the money line was a little bit out of whack. The side was 7, Steelers minus 7, but the money line was something ridiculous, like only minus $2.
Right.
The point spread closed 6. So I took plus 7, a number that no longer exists,
right,
and then I laid the minus $2, which no longer existed. It closed minus 240, 250. So again, you get the best of it coming from every which way. And it was perfect because it was a big fat middle. I laid the minus $2 on the Steelers when it closed 240, 250, and I took plus 7 when it closed 5.5 and 6, and the Steelers won by 3 or 4 points. So that would give you an example. But only if you're getting the best of it on both sides, getting numbers. I bet numbers that do not exist.
Now, what about the fact that some people will say you should never bet an underdog unless you believe that underdog is going to win the game? So you should always play a little bit on the underdog on the money line as well. If you're a nickel player, maybe you just do a fifth of your wager on the money line as well. So when they get, or are you giving up some of your profit if you do that consistently?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for believing in your ability to handicap, and that's why I call Anthony Padilla out every week, who I love. He doesn't bet his games, and it's like he's told me on occasion, I'm not telling you anything I don't tell him 3 times a day, that as soon as he steps out and bets, he'll lose. And it's like, really, you don't have any belief in your ability to, I mean, you have to be confident. This is not for the weak of heart. Okay,
right.
Maybe that's why I have a history of an irregular heartbeat. Now you know why I stopped watching these games.
Cardiologists are standing by at your service.
Unlike my friend Dink, who is emotionally, I mean, he goes nuts based on, it's like, Dink, it's the first play of the first quarter. Relax.
They're behind already. I'm laying 16.
I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. It's a pick 6. I'm down 14. Right. Now I understand how people are like that, how they handle games. By the way, Patrick Beverley, is he the best player with regards to value for what he's being paid, $281,000 in the NBA?
Well, $281,000, but, you know, I look at we broadcast the Clipper games, and Matt Barnes, I mean, come on, man. In L.A., big market town, league minimum, $864,000 based on his
tenure in the league.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So I think, I mean, it's crazy to say, wow, you know, average Joe's making $50,000 to $60,000 a year, and I'm saying, well, he's undervalued at $825,000, but he is, compared to the league mandate. So you look at Beverly. Well, let's talk about Mike Trout.
Right.
The guy is barely getting paid anything at all as the rookie of the year in the American League in baseball terms.
That's true. He got a little bit of arbitration money, but that's just the way the agreements are set up. Same thing in the NBA. I was just curious what your thoughts were. We talked about Jason Collins being overpaid for what he's produced in the NBA this year. It's interesting. Now we got a little bit of time left. Let me ask you this about the other, there are a couple of other games in the NBA playoffs tonight. The Knicks, you expect the Knicks to beat the Celtics tonight and finish off that series?
I do. I expect the Knicks to win going away, but will they cover the big fat number? That I don't know. I don't have an opinion. I'm not betting the game, but the Knicks favored in that game, I believe, 8.5, 9 points. The total for the game is 180.5.
Okay, baseball-wise, some streaks going on in baseball right now. We wanted to mention those before we got out of here. The Tigers appear to be red hot right now and amongst other teams.
Well, the Tigers winning 5 consecutive games. On the losing end, we talked about the Mets in the toilet right now, 6 consecutive losses. And the Angels of Anaheim, wow, Los Angeles, come on. Let's get going here. You've got so much talent. We don't like their pitching. They've been a good over team. The Oakland A's continue another over game yesterday with the A's. But the Angels have lost 4 consecutive games. So with the Angels, it's like 2 steps forward, 4 steps back.
And they continue to go over the total. I think C.J. Wilson on the mound today for them, an afternoon game, 12:30. today in that particular spot moving forward. And we are just about out of time, Scott.
Well, you're listening to The Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network. We're live and worldwide, simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor, featured on VegasInsider.com, PritchardsPicks.com, and RefPicks.com. For Brett Grant, GM of KSHP, I'm Scott Pritchard. We'll catch you tomorrow.